Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday night. Regular season already over in baseball. Can you believe that? The regular season is already over in baseball. Man, has it flown by. Hey, Dad and I talked about this a little bit on the radio show last week. I think it's simply a product of basketball going on the run that they went on, going to the Sweet 16. It almost like condensed the baseball season. And years past, when Ole Miss has been awful at basketball, we have had to dive heavy into baseball almost right away. And it didn't feel like it went by as fast as this one did. I think it's just because of basketball. So anyway, it has flown by. D1's got their regional projections out. Ole Miss takes 2 of 3 from Auburn. Did they do enough to host? D1 does not think so. Although when you look at some resumes, you're going to roll your eyes a little bit when it comes to some of these picks. And again, it's not D1 picking what they would do. It's what they think the committee will do. And, you know, they're probably justified in that. But when you look at the resumes, it is, it's eye roll inducing for sure. So we'll talk about that. Read your comments on this edition of the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to it wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Also like right here on YouTube, subscribe as well. And leave a comment if you're watching after the fact. I would love to hear from you, even if you are not here live with us right now. This podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Even if you don't live in Brookhaven, now they are on exit 40, obviously in Brookhaven, but the car buying experience is a miserable, stressful one. It's a tough, large purchase and one that you are burdening yourself financially for a while. So you want to do that with people that are actually going to treat that experience like that, that understand what you are going through as a consumer and don't just look at you as somebody that they can just kind of take from as most as they can or as best they can. Toyota Brookhaven is going to treat you like an actual person and not just dollar signs. Check out their online inventory. So if you live like here in the Jackson area, it's not far to get to Brookhaven anyway, and it'd be worth it to have that kind of car buying experience. Tell them I sent you. You get $1,000 off on me. $1,000 on me if you just tell them that I sent you. That's all you got to do. Tell them I sent you. $1,000. You're welcome for that. And great interest rates. They have a service department. If you need your car serviced, any maker model, they'll take care of you. They're one of the highest rated in the state at Toyota Brookhaven. Again, online at toyotabrookhaven.com or on exit 40 in Brookhaven. They will deliver. I promise you that. So Ole Miss, let's start with the weekend. Ole Miss takes 2 of 3 from Auburn, finishes with a record of 16-14 in the SEC. Here, I'll look up the, or I'll pull up, I should say, the bracket for the SEC tournament. They'll play Wednesday, scheduled to start at 4:30. They'll play the winner of Florida and South Carolina. Ole Miss finishes as the 7 seed in the SEC. A lot to like from what happened this weekend. We already talked about the Hunter Elliott game. He was just absolutely dominant. The offense was good all weekend. That is a really good Auburn team that was really hot coming into this weekend. And the Ole Miss bats showed up, and you really like that. You got, again, the good performance from Elliott. You got 2 wins. And you have to like, generally speaking, what your team looked like in the last week of the season going into the postseason. If they host or not, that is a team with a ceiling. They showed you what their ceiling is, and it's a high one. It's a really high one. They can play with and compete with the best teams in college baseball. You saw it this weekend with Auburn. They have a series win over number 3 in the RPI, Vanderbilt. They only played Texas once, but, that didn't go particularly well. But anyway, they were 1 out away from taking a series over Arkansas as well. It's a good baseball team. Their ceiling is very, very high. They can absolutely win a regional, and they can absolutely win a super regional as well. That is their ceiling. But you also saw yet again this weekend what prevents them from possibly reaching that ceiling. And I know there's a lot of discussion about mismanagement of the bullpen arms again. the use of Morris, the whole idea around warming a guy up, and even though he doesn't pitch, you still can't use him the next day as a result. That discourse is out there, and if you guys want to bring it up, well, we can certainly talk about it. What is more concerning, though, and what's been a theme really with this team all season, is they just don't have any reliable bullpen arms really after one and a half, but really after two. They just don't have great options that can provide them consistently good pitching out of the bullpen. And also defensively, my goodness, I mean, they're routine plays away from winning the Mississippi State Series. They didn't make them, so they lost, of course. And probably routine plays away from sweeping Auburn as well. So shaky defense played behind shaky pitching. And that's ultimately what cost them in game three. And if this team doesn't make it out of a regional, it'll be that. That'll be what costs them. I know the management is certainly in question for people, and I understand that. But even if they managed Morris perfectly, they still don't have many great options, after him and like McCausland in the pen anyway. So finish 16-14. Every single person that is affiliated with Ole Miss would have taken 16-14 when the season began. I mean, unless you're one of those that, you know, wants Mike Bianco to win three games and get fired. But everybody would take in 16-14. It is an objectively good season. They evaluated the portal very well, which is a good sign. If you look at who they got out of the portal, especially in the field and the hit rate on those guys, they did a very good job of evaluating in the transfer portal, and they had a good season. Is it great? Well, no, especially if they don't host. Now, if they host, then you can start talking about a great result anyway, before at least that weekend actually happens. But they had a good season. They showed a positive sign in adaptability to this new era with evaluating the portal well. Good coaching job from Mike Bianco to get to this point. You were looking for obvious forward improvement, and you got it this season. Is there still things that leave you scratching your head? Yes, but that is a good season for Ole Miss. And they're not done yet, of course, but finishing 7th in the SEC when picked 15th, going 16-14, a fringe regional host, considering where they were at this time last season, yeah, this is a good, most definitely an acceptable result for Ole Miss in 2025, and we'll just see how they can handle the postseason. So we'll get to the regional projections after I pay a couple more bills. I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered. If you're a Mississippi business and you're in the market for office technology, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines all the way up to cloud storage and data security, absms.com is the website. Tell them I sent you. They'll give you an assessment for office tech on me. So just tell them I sent you, and they'll do it for you on me. Check them out. absms.com is the website. Also, Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. It's really awesome. I mean, I've used a couple of banks in the past, and their online banking setup, the interface was not near as good as this one. Also, local loan servicing and decision making. So it's somebody that you'll build a relationship with face to face instead of on the phone or on Zoom or somebody out of state or whatever. No, Priority One Bank will take care of you at one of their 16 locations here in Mississippi. So the D1 Baseball put out their regional projections, and let's look at them at least in the context of Ole Miss. I'm not going to go through the entire thing. We can if you want to, I suppose. But they have Ole Miss currently a 2 seed, so on the outside looking in from a host perspective, which I was expecting. Now, again, we're going to look at resumes, and Ole Miss has a hosting resume, especially with the Governor's Cup win and the Clemson and Arizona wins as well. Ole Miss has a hosting resume. But currently, they're not projected to be one because, as we talked about either last time or two episodes ago, I think it was last time, but either way, you are leaving the selection up to a committee that has, in the past anyway, precedent tells you they're not going to give it to the 16 best resumes in college baseball. And the D1 projections kind of bear that out. Ole Miss projected as a 2 seed at the Southern Miss Regional. Southern Miss, a 14. Bear in mind that Southern Miss's athletic director is on the committee. I know he has to recuse himself, but Southern Miss's athletic director is on the committee. Southern Miss, the 1 seed. Cincinnati, the 3. Murray State, the 4. So that's where Ole Miss is currently projected. Also projected to host a regional by D1, Georgia Tech, TCU, UCLA. So those are the bottom four host sites. Let's start with Georgia Tech. Let's start with Georgia Tech and compare it quickly to Ole Miss here on the old RPI machine. Ole Miss is 18 in the RPI. Georgia Tech is 20. Ole Miss has a strength of schedule of 10. Georgia Tech's is 28. So a respectable schedule, but Ole Miss is better. Ole Miss is 16-14 in quad one games. Georgia Tech is 12-10. So Ole Miss has played more, and they have 4 more quad one wins. Georgia Tech has 5 quad three and quad four losses combined. They have 3 quad three losses and 2 quad four losses. Ole Miss has 2 total. Ole Miss has 1 quad three loss and 1 quad four loss. By every objective measure, Ole Miss's resume is better than Georgia Tech's. But Georgia Tech currently projected to be the 16 seed. TCU, the 15. TCU's RPI is 17. Ole Miss's is 18. Their strength of schedule is 20, so respectable. Ole Miss's is better, but theirs is at least respectable. Ole Miss's is 10. TCU has played fewer quad one games than Ole Miss has quad one wins. TCU is 7-7 against the quad one. Ole Miss, of course, 16-14. They're 12-7 in quad two games. A lot of quad two games. Ole Miss has only played 3 such games. They do not have a quad four loss, but they do have 3 quad three losses, so fewer than Ole Miss has combined in that category. TCU's closer. Ole Miss's is still, by the objective measurements, better. All right, Southern Miss. Red freaking hot is Southern Miss. Just absolutely red hot. They got, another awesome weekend over a really good Troy team. They're playing really good baseball right now. Their RPI is 21 to Ole Miss's 18. Their strength of schedule is 70 to Ole Miss's 10. Their record against quad one teams is good. They just haven't played that many. They're 7-4 against quad one teams. That is, so that's 11. Ole Miss has played 30 quad one games. Ole Miss has played 19 more quad one games. They have 16 quad one wins to Southern Miss's 4. Southern Miss also has 5 quad four losses to Ole Miss's 1. 5 quad four losses to Ole Miss's 1. They are, again, they're really hot. They have a chance to win the Sun Belt Tournament. Ole Miss's resume, by every objective measure, is better than Southern Miss's. And then finally, UCLA. UCLA, at least 15 in the RPI to Ole Miss's 18. Their strength of schedule is 23 to Ole Miss's 10. Check this out, though. UCLA is 3-7 against quad one. 3-7 against quad one to Ole Miss's 16-14. They have 2 quad four losses to Ole Miss's 1. They have 5 quad three losses to Ole Miss's 1. But UCLA, the 13 seed in these projections. So precedent tells you, if you check out what Chase Parham said on Twitter, precedent tells you that if Ole Miss gets a win over, you would hope, Florida on Wednesday in the SEC tournament, they have not been left out. A team with Ole Miss's resume and metrics has not been left out as a host. But the fact that we are talking about this and them being in this position, considering the metrics and the objective measures on their resume, is goofy. But that is college baseball. Should this resume, when you stack it up to others, be projected to be a host? Absolutely. Should you expect college baseball and a selection committee to do it the objective way? No, you shouldn't, because history has told you that that is what they're going to do. Also, Hunter asking with the first comment, any thoughts on Southern Miss hosting Ole Miss? The next thing is for Southern Miss that could work against them, although, again, their 80s on the committee. I know they recuse themselves, but give me a break. We saw it with the basketball committee in North Carolina getting in. They had no business getting in, but their AD was there. Are we sure that the Sun Belt would get two teams? Are we sure that the Sun Belt would get two teams? And according to these projections, Coastal Carolina is the 10 seed. Are they going to give the Sun Belt two host sites? I don't know, but that is certainly a question that they need to ask. Scott Strickland, also a Florida on the committee as well. If you're Scott Strickland, you are fighting like hell for that not to be the case. But anyway. What's up? Good to see you guys. Is the spring portal closed? Are they done adding anyone for football? So the portal is closed for entries. But they can get whoever's in there. I did read a story in The Athletic where I think it was an anonymous ACC coach that was quoted saying that there's a bunch of guys in the portal, but it's all garbage. And you should have kind of expected that. And Ole Miss did a nice job of adding defensive back help in the spring portal. They needed it badly, and they got it. I think that it's been pretty obvious that they're not thrilled about what they have in the secondary. Lane Kiffin's talked about it. I mean, even the Austin Simmons interview we had, he spoke differently about the secondary than he did the front six. There's a reason for that, and there's a reason they went out and signed who they did. But the talent, the availability of talent in the spring portal was weaker than last one, and last one was weak. And overall, in general, the portal was not as talent rich as it was the year prior, for sure. Baseball's flown by more thanks to basketball. The bad seasons usually feel longer. No kidding. Fisher and Doyle left, finished behind. Yeah, Tennessee behind Ole Miss in the standings officially. And Tennessee's kind of falling apart here. Metrics say they should host, but you have a strong feeling they were one game short. Don't lose two to South Carolina and finish teams when they're dead to rights in the ninth. Yes, Ole Miss does, at the end of the day, only have themselves to blame. That South Carolina series is still just as head-scratching as it possibly could be. I mean, they lost to Little Rock in the midweek. You know, there were some things. The South Alabama game, you know, you're allowed to have a midweek loss. I get that, but they had opportunities, and they did not seize on those opportunities. I mean, if they just played decent defense, they probably have 18 wins instead of 16. So, just because they could have sealed that deal doesn't mean that the resume isn't currently one that should be hosting. So, this weekend was objectively a success for Ole Miss. Winning 2 of 3 is perfectly good, but man, they blew Game 3. I will say offense looked fantastic. They absolutely blew Game 3, completely and totally blew it. But yes, if that offense is going to translate, forget Hoover after Wednesday. If they win Wednesday, then great. But I know people get really excited about the SEC tournament, that they've invested in the ballpark, that they added real seats, and they've got outfield seating now, and they've got a really cool like playground for kids near the ballpark, and like there's a lot to do there. I appreciate the effort that Hoover has put into making that a thing, and I know people really care about the SEC tournament. I'm not one of those people. I don't care. Outside of, like, if they lose Wednesday, then they're probably not hosting. Like, Wednesday does matter. But absent that, I hope they win. No, they don't need to. They need to win next weekend. They don't need to. This weekend is just kind of a fun footnote in a season. It's not what matters. Next weekend is what matters. Tennessee lost 6 of their last 7. Only Carolina and Missouri lost more series. Yeah. Patillo might throw Doyle 5 times when the SEC tournament, though. It's crazy that UCLA, Oregon State, Oregon, West Virginia, and even Clemson and USC are going to be treated better by resume than Ole Miss, Tennessee, Alabama, Florida, Mississippi State, et cetera. So let's look at Oregon State, because West Virginia has fallen out of a host, I believe, right? I can't find them. Yeah, so they're a two seed in Tallahassee. NC State has fallen out of a host as well. Let's look at Oregon State. Where are they? They're six in the RPI, though. That's the thing about Oregon State. They're six in the RPI. Strength of schedule 40. 10-9 against quad one. So they've played a lot of quad one games, have a winning record against quad one. And they only have one quad three and quad four loss, which is fewer than Ole Miss. They have zero quad four losses. I'm okay. That's fine. That is totally fine. You know, J.B. Middleton will probably win the Ferris Trophy, but Ace Reese is flirting with the Triple Crown and is basically top five in every offensive category. Yep. Yep, he is. Softball's one game away from a super regional, but is getting destroyed in a regional final right now. Arizona going to force a game seven. I saw that highlight catch where the third baseman caught the ball, and for some reason the runner was off the base, and as she was diving to catch the ball, her foot was on the bag. So she doubled her off. That was pretty sick. I saw that. Hunter Elliott told you I was late. I wasn't late. Florida hosting seems comical. Well, they have an athletic director on the committee. Forgot to mention this also. Yes, the Nichols injury too. I mean, Ole Miss already has issues in the bullpen. And now, you know, how long is that going to be? Is he going to be able to pitch in a regional? Then, okay, good. But how long is that one going to last? I don't know. I don't know. I'm worried about that as well. A team who dominated the league that 12 of the 18 schools don't know that the sport exists gets a host. They only play like six quad one games all year. Meanwhile, Ole Miss has more quad one wins than anybody. Preaching to the choir. Well, I mean, they have a hosting resume. They do. They have a hosting resume. Just don't put it past. This is what I told you guys the other day. Just don't put it past a selection committee filled with suits that most definitely, regardless of what they say, have their own goals. And they should, by the way. Don't put it past them to not do the right thing. No, it's an Ole Miss show, but hat tip to Florida to go from 1-11 in league play to being a possible host is incredible. Yeah, that's a big turnaround. You knew they were really talented. Just injuries were killing them. Elliott Maddox were great, but I have a question on how they use arms in terms of stamina. I'm guessing it's a Mangrum thing where a guy throws 20 pitches and is done for the weekend. Well, I mean, they said that they got him loose, and because they got him loose, they shut him down for the next day. And that's twice now that has happened. I'm just going to leave that to the smart baseball people. That sounds crazy to me, but I don't know. I have questions about methodology of RPI. Oregon moved up seven spots to 12 by going 3-0 versus a quad two team. Ole Miss goes 2-1 versus number two Auburn and falls a spot. Seems like a flawed system. Don't forget, everybody else plays as well. Now, there's a reason college basketball moved to the net. So that is something to keep in mind. But it doesn't just happen in a vacuum. All of your opponents also played as well. And so that also affects RPI. It's not just, so you're 17 now, and if you win games, you move up, because all of your opponents have also played, and that impacts the formula as well. Can we all agree Tennessee has the worst attitude team-wide of anything in the country? Yeah, absolutely, and it hasn't toned down at all. And acting the way that they act while losing is pathetic, is what it is. And frankly, they need a humbling. They're really talented, really good. Hell, they could even make it to Omaha. They're still really talented. I mean, don't be shocked if Tennessee figures it out and starts winning games again. But, man, the way they play the game and the way they act is, it's loser behavior, is what it is. But yeah, stinks for Nichols. He might not pitch again in a Rebel uniform. Doesn't sound good, but I mean, who knows? Maybe he can be available in a couple weeks. I mean, who do they pitch in game three of a regional. I have no idea. Team was perfectly capable of being 19-11 with better defense. Absolutely. Probably should be. Going to watch Ole Miss Wednesday. Will we also be able to watch State in the fourth game? Honestly, I don't know how tickets work. I wish I could tell you. I'm not even going to answer that because I don't know how tickets work. I've only been as credentialed media, and I'm not doing the I'm a media guy. No, I'm not doing that. I just don't know the answer to tell you. I have no idea. Funny how Mason Morris is now throwing with 6-8 run leads. Yeah. It's got to be one of the most gut-wrenching top 10 series win I can remember. All things considered, this was a good weekend, but man, playing postseason baseball in Oxford was there for the taking. I mean, that was a huge, huge game in game three. And I mean, not only just, you know, kind of blowing it, but they had an 8-3 lead. I mean, everything was turning up Ole Miss, and I mean, just can't get off the field, can't play good defense. I mean, you balk in a run, all that stuff. It just, that was the biggest regular season game in that stadium in a while, quite some time. And they blew it. And that's unfortunate because we'd be talking about their host site right now is what we'd be talking about. By the way, Tuesday will not be live Tuesday. My dad's coming. Might not be live Thursday either. I'll have to figure something out. It just depends. But my dad's coming to see us. So I'll keep you updated. I got to do something for you, of course, but definitely will not be live on Tuesday for sure. And maybe not even Thursday either. We'll see. But yeah, my dad's coming to see us. So sorry about that. But anyway, Ole Miss is likely going to play Florida to start and Hoover. I'm guessing Hunter Elliott trots out there. Yes. I mean, he might be on a pitch count. But yeah, you throw Elliott, you win the game, and you're probably hosting. Play Florida, it's a must win. Boss gets a free suite at Hoover while I stay home and make him money. man, probably in this team's best interest not to host. It'll be a high two seed somewhere. Avoid playing a good SEC team in a super. You always want to host, or at least that's my opinion. I hear you. You say you don't think UCLA, West Virginia, Oregon won Ole Miss. They probably don't, but you always want to host. I mean, what that weekend does for Oxford, there's a reason you invest so much in baseball, and it's to host regionals. I mean, that's what you're in this for. That's what you invest in this for, is for a hosting weekend. So, yeah. You see, the idea that Southern Miss hosts Ole Miss should be laughable on its face. If they get a regional and Ole Miss doesn't, State's obviously not going to. Guarantee one of the two will be there. Guarantee. Craig Sankey and the league office need to throw their weight around on Selection Sunday. No reason for teams with lower RPI, quad ones, and strength of schedule to host over Ole Miss and other SEC teams. I agree completely. It's Scott Strickland's time to shine. He needs to pull what John Cohen did for Ole Miss back in 2022. He needs to get on that. Don't think they're going to host unless maybe they win the SEC tournament. They don't have to. They don't have to win the SEC tournament. When everybody says the Governor's Cup counts, they're right. It's true. So they have 17 SEC wins. If they get another one, here, I'll pull up. I want to give full credit to him too, and say exactly what he put out there. So this is from Chase Parham. He says, "I still think Rebs grab a host with a win on Wednesday. Since 2007, 64 of 65 SEC teams hosted with an RPI inside of 20 and 18 total SEC wins." So, there you go. Watch USM host and State get sent there. One of the two. If Ole Miss and State are not hosting, one of the two goes to Hattiesburg if they get it. Guaranteed. Absolutely guaranteed. Leaving SEC teams out of seeding and playoffs in favor of teams who have clearly inferior resumes for charity is exactly why the SEC is demanding auto bids and more control. I hate the auto bid thing. I really hate it. It is good for Ole Miss. I hate it. But that is in part why the SEC and the Big Ten play better college football. They play more difficult schedules. The SEC is even tougher than the Big Ten. But the Big Ten's comparable now to the SEC. They play better schedules, more difficult schedules. They play in more difficult road venues even. Just it's tougher places to play against more talented teams. And we're going to have this idea that we need to treat Boise State and Arizona State's record the same as Georgia's. It's nonsense. And the fact that people in my business argue that is so – it's the discourse around the college football playoff from sports – college football media was a joke this year. It really was such a joke because they all know the truth. Like they are lying to their audience for the sake of protecting the game or whatever. And no, just you need to be honest about what it is. I mean, do we let the best G League team play in the NBA playoffs? We don't. Really talented players there, but it's not the same. So it's like this in baseball as well. I mean, we're really talking about who was the most egregious. Was it? It was UCLA. I mean, we're talking about a team that's 3-7 against the Quad One, 3-7 in Quad One games, and they're going to host. Why? I can tell you why. Because they're on the West Coast. That's why. With how hot State is, as days goes by, the more I think Justin Parker's going to get the job. He's got to get to Omaha, I think. I think he has to get to Omaha. Take a rebel visit to Hattiesburg for selfish reasons. Also, Ole Miss has success there in the postseason. They're better in every category between those other potential hosts. I sure hope they don't pick Tennessee to host, although you can't disrespect the program that's made the sport relevant. God, those people are insufferable. Just don't lose on Kids Day. Yeah, just don't lose on Kids Day. Cancel Kids Day forever. Michael Jordan meme, them kids. Ole Miss is tied for the most Quad One wins in the country. Let's see. So they have 16. Who else has 16? This says Texas has 17. So I'm on Warren Nolan's page right now. So Texas has apparently 17 and Ole Miss has 16. And nobody else has 16. So they're either tied for first, depending on what you look at, or second in the country in Quad One wins. Have to schedule midweeks better. Way too many RPI bombs in recent years. Cost us this year. Almost cost national title in 2022. There needs to be a better way with midweek games. They need to play them, these teams – that they need those games, but you can't be playing in the last week of the season a team with an RPI in the 200s. It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. No, people bring up State last year at 17-13, but didn't they lose a ton of terrible non-con games? Ole Miss only has one. Yes, their non-conference resume was awful. Their non-conference resume was awful, and that's what cost them. A&M had the most talented team in the country and went 11-19 with a home sweep to 3-27 Missouri. That still is the most shocking result. Is that the most shocking result in college sports this calendar year? And that includes Notre Dame losing to Northern Illinois in football. It's one of them. Ah, man. If Ole Miss is playing at Southern Miss in a regional, I do think that I will try to go. But their press space is very, very limited, but I will try. Host or not, how important do you think winning or losing a regional is to Bianco's future? Go 2-Q in a regional, and next year is a pressure cooker. if they get to a super, things calm down a little bit. Yeah, there's a lot riding on the result. So. I think everyone should throw in Hoover to guarantee a Missouri auto bid. Yeah, Missouri sitting three of their weekend starters this weekend to rest them for trying to make a run in Hoover. How pissed do I think Host will be facing the state team with how they're swinging it lately? I mean, God, right now, where were they? Florida State seeing West Virginia, who's a borderline host, and then Mississippi State, who's playing really good lately. That's the last thing they want to see. If you're State, you want to get sent out to, like, UCLA, I think. I think that's where you want to go. Get sent way out there. I know it's not ideal for travel and stuff. Like, I know State fans could go over to Florida State, but probably starting Calhoun or McCausland, Dennis, maybe, not sure. The problem is you're using McCausland in a relief role, so maybe it would be Gunnar Dennis since he's been in that role before. So interview with Kevin O'Sullivan for Tuesday. So you say, turning the page a little bit, I understand why Saints fans were happy about Carr retiring. I thought it was sick. Carr's a great human being. Here's the thing about that. Nobody is leaving $30 million on the table and walking away unless there's a reason. He very simply could have gone on IR and collected that money and it would have been the same. Now, the spin zone that he did the Saints a solid doesn't really track, considering he very clearly wanted out as much as possible. Asked for a trade, clashed with his teammates, clashed with the fan base. Like, that was a bad marriage, right? It was a really bad marriage. So why would he then walk away from $30 million? Because the team would have had a grievance. That's why. He was able to keep his $10 million signing bonus, and the Saints were able to save $30 million because they came together and either A, he had the injury and did not disclose it to them when they restructured his deal, giving him a $10 million signing bonus, or B, it was a non-football injury, and the Saints could have taken that to the NFL, and he would have gotten nothing. That is far, far, far more likely to be the thing that happened than him just, I love you, Saints, so much, you don't have to pay me the $30 million that's left on my contract fully guaranteed. You have it. I'm going to go. It is far more likely either A, he didn't disclose the injury to the team, or B, it was a injury that happened not during football activities, which would allow the Saints to not have to pay him his signing bonus. There could be all like the process that goes through the league, and he could end up with nothing. So they decided to come together, and he was allowed to keep a signing bonus, and he could retire in good faith, and they wouldn't fight it publicly with the NFL. That is far more likely to be what has happened. If the Gov Cup counts, then so should the loss against Texas at the start of the year. That didn't count, but it does. It does. So that's also a factor. It does. Saw the Savannah Bananas played in Clemson's football stadium. Would love to see them paired with the weekend series in the Vaught. Yeah, I mean, the dimensions were quite goofy, of course, because you can't really fit that in there. But people love it. People absolutely love it. Me, like, absent my child, I don't quite understand it. I know people, like guys my age, that went to the Savannah Bananas game at Clemson Stadium, like just a group of four guys without any kids. I don't understand that. If they ever came close, I would bring my five-year-old. We'd have a blast. So, like, it doesn't entertain me, but it would clearly entertain him. And so, of course, we would go. And that's, of course, what their market is, really. It's a family thing, right? They're the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. But when I saw four dudes my age go without kids to the Savannah Bananas, I thought that was weird. Seems like the SEC gets screwed over more than the Big Ten does. It did last year. Austin with the super chat. Thank you, man. I appreciate you. Appreciate you very much. Totally unnecessary, but thank you for your support, my friend. Really, really appreciate you. So you're so right. I wish I was a fly on the wall of the SEC office when ESPN was saying SMU should get the playoffs over an SEC team. Keep in mind, ESPN pays more for the SEC than the ACC. Absolutely. And I mean, there's a lot of things that have happened that I don't like from the SEC office. But, and what people in my business, Austin, don't think about either is Greg Sankey's job is not to protect college football. It's not his job. So don't get mad at him when he's doing his job, which is to do what's best for the 16 schools in his league. I'm so sick of the, well, what the SEC is doing is bad for college football as a whole. That's not his job. He's not the college football commissioner. He's the SEC commissioner. So when he fights for four auto bids for the SEC and you cry about it, that he's doing his job. What you should be advocating for is either collective bargaining or a college football breakaway to where they can govern themselves just like the NFL does. But instead, you think that everybody can have their cake and eat it too. And also the league that cares the most and invests the most and wins the most and has the most players should protect the Big 12. It makes no sense that they should protect the Mountain West. It makes no sense at all. And they know that. They're smart enough people to know that, but they're just, they want to just feel important, I guess. I don't know. It is hard to fill out midweek schedules, though. It is. I mean, you got to find teams that are willing to travel and are short distances, shortish distances. It's not particularly easy. Mississippi State scored 50 runs on Missouri in like 22 innings after A&M scored 7 total. I mean, even if Missouri sat all of their starters this weekend, it still doesn't explain. I mean, they're so bad. They're so bad. Found the pictures of Dart and Judkins together to be quite amusing. That was a really funny thing. Oh, man. If you're a Saints fan like me, and I think Austin, are you a Saints fan or are you just asking me about him? Either way, we will not get to see Jackson Dart. I don't think Jackson will be starting by week 5. It'll be... ideally, I think the Giants don't want to start him this year at all. Maybe towards the end of the season if things aren't going well. But, yeah, the Giants are going to the Dome, but that'll be Russell Wilson. That's too early yet for Jackson. Must say you do love the SEC tournaments, especially basketball. All the teams and fan bases together going at it, it's fun. It is fun. Like, it's a good time that the vibes around the basketball tournament, I think, are more fun than baseball. Baseball is a little bit more relaxed. And not everybody approaches the SEC baseball tournament in a we're trying to win this way. Missouri is this year, but Pens on Saturday looked fantastic. Yeah, they did, especially with the way Nike butchered the Powder Blues, man. Yeah, I didn't even realize Vitello was an assistant at Missouri. Could you imagine? Well, he'd have been out of there so fast, though. You can't manufacture give a damn. Can't manufacture it. And they already have the Cardinals in Missouri as well, so they already have like a bigger, more important baseball thing. That's why, like in these big northeastern markets with NFL teams, that they don't care about college football. And so you're never going to have college football in Boston. Like, Boston College is never going to be like a big-time needle mover in Boston because they have the Patriots. It's like that. They've got the Cardinals, who I guess stink right now, but it's going to be hard to get people to care when they've got better baseball near-ish bye. So, yeah, Nike, you're right. I mean, Nike completely butchered the uniforms. They're awful now. Truly awful. Apparel. Sports apparel. You guys know what I think about that. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. But anyway, I got to run, guys. Again, I hate to do it, but I don't know if I'll be live either Tuesday or Thursday. I just, we're going to be visiting with my dad. So I will let you know. I'll tweet links out. You can also hit the notification bell on here, and it'll tell you when a new video is posted or when I go live. So check that out. And I'll see you guys on the next one. At absolute worst, it'll be next Sunday. It'll be a week from today. But anyway, I'll see you guys soon, and talk to you whenever that is. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.